The recordings are started now.
Thank you.
If you have any objections, you may disconnect. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Welcome to the RFP 5 call on the 17th of December at 2100 UTC. And I will pass it on to our coordinator, Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Grace. Cheryl Langdon, all for the record. And that, of course, whilst it isn't on the agenda, we have all put our statements of interest in, I believe, for the accountability cross-community working group. But we should just pause briefly, even in this one, to check whether or not there's, or to remind people if there is any updates or changes to your statements of interest. That it is incumbent upon you to work under continuous disclosure, and you are most respectfully requested to update your statements of interest from time to time, and if there is anything you'd like to raise at this meeting, please do so now. Not seeing anyone wave at me and not hearing anything other than a small echo of my own voice. Let's assume that there aren't any updates that need to be read to the record, and any others will be put individually into people's SOIs as they occur. Well, welcome, and I'd like to call on anyone who has any apologies. We have, I believe, the principal in the accountability area is having the listing of participants in the Adobe Connect room just captured. But it's very important that if we're not going to do a full roll call, Grace, that we ask if anyone has not joined the Adobe Connect room and is only on audio. I know Bill Manning, for example, has joined us in the audio channel, so we need to make sure, Grace, that we capture everybody if we're not doing a roll call that is both participant in the Adobe Connect room and is only on audio. Also, if anyone is only on audio, we are a small enough group that if you just want to jump in at any point, obviously in a break of sentence or thought, and so if you're not in a position to put up your hand, or indeed if you've left the Adobe Connect room briefly but are still on the telephone, just let us know and we'll put you in the speaking queue regardless of what mechanism you're using to connect with us. And with that, I think what I'd like to do is note with much joy that we have new people. Welcome, Desiree. Welcome, Bill. Welcome me up. And those of us who were on the call last week were far too few, and we are very excited to have more contributors to this work stream in our work here. I think most of us would know either Bill, Desiree or Jap, but if you want to use the chat to interact, I think we might save a few seconds now rather than go through a round robin of introductions and self-introductions. If you don't know each other, make yourselves known to each other using the chat module. And, of course, we can always look up our SOIs, can't we? I just wanted to know that under normal circumstances, I think it's a very good idea to review any last call matters arising or action items. Last call, we did actually have two action items, both of which were completed. Thank you, Grace. And we'll, in the wiki page, have this as a little tick checklist. But we should note that we did have a call for additional members, and delightfully that has worked. We've got new people joining us, and we also asked Grace to look at looking at a suitable time for regular weekly meetings. That's resulted in today's call at 2100 UTC, but we will re-look at this and discuss briefly under item 6 of today's agenda, because, of course, with new people, we need to consider time options that are best suited for all of us, including our newer members. And now, hopefully, Avery's audio in is going to be pretty darn good, because We've got to the point where we're going to hear from Avery as she's acting as a liaison to keep us up to date on what happens from RFP 3 and 4. I know a few of us are, in fact, in those other work streams as well, but it's a very good idea, and we agreed last week with Avery that that she would act as input for us, so we because our work is contingent on theirs, so we know exactly what's going on. Over to you, Avery.
Okay. Can I be heard? Am I too loud?
Perfectly.
Am I too soft?
Perfectly.
Perfectly. Way cool. Okay. So, yeah, three and four, yes, have actually been working even through the document. What's happened in three is basically Greg has put out a table that analyzes what should be an exhaustive set. I'm not sure that it is a fully exhaustive set. We haven't talked about that in specific, of all the issues that need to be resolved in terms of the plan that is in the draft document, where we still have the 1 week on the review. But basically broken all those down, and each one of them has basically talked about the issue and then the proposed response. So, for example, I mean, and the issues are broken down really quite deeply into composition, organizing principles, stakeholder organizations involved, other names, communities. So each one of these is a row, and there's pages and pages of them. I didn't count the number of rows. And each one of these, some of them has a postulated answer, some doesn't. We had a phone call doing the first walkthrough of this the other day, and there's lots of discussion, and of course none of this will be, you know, resolvable really until we've seen the full comments, but that's the way we're working on it. You know, not too much to say on that further, unless one were to go into proposed responses, but I think that would be diving too deep at this point. In terms of the other one, four, they've basically put out a set of timelines that look at the dependencies. These have not undergone much review yet, but they're out. I missed the last meeting, and I haven't listened to the recording yet. But the timelines that they've just put out are broken down both on a monthly and a NTIA-based and drive, you know, driving time schedule. You know, then there's basically a task list that includes things like form contract co, assuming we have a contract co, A, B, C, D, form MRT, A, B, form CSC, A, B, C. On down the list, there's 12 different items on the task list that are being adjusted. So it's basically doing, you know, looking at what we've got left to do, and looking at the issues that need to be dealt with. You know, number four is Form Independent Review Panel. It has an APC. And so, and then basically looking at driving the task on a schedule based on tasks. I think that's our stop.
Chair, off the record, thank you very much for that, Avery. That gives us all a nice stepping off point for our next discussions. But before we go on to next discussions, I just wanted to ask of anyone on the call, do you have any questions or do you need further details from Avery on anything that she's shared with you? Because not all of you are in the other work streams. Just speak up or put your hand up and we'll form a queue. Any questions for Avery? Not hearing anyone, and not seeing any hands go up.
Well, I put up my hand, but you couldn't see it.
No, darling, seeing as you're not in your Doe Connect room, you'll have to jump in, and you're more than welcome to do it that way. Go ahead, Bill.
So I have several larger issues, not necessarily with the different RFPs, but with the general process and the authorization for cutting things into these individual little RFPs and authorization for reassembly into a larger component response. But that's outside the scope of this call. I have some homework to do.
Okay. Bill, Cheryl, for the record, I think that if it's all possible, most of us are in the different sections are also trying to run things through the main list. And so once you've formulated your questions and you've dotted your I's and crossed your T's, putting those questions to the list would be greatly appreciated, but I'm sure any of the particular work streams, if it's relevant to them, would like to hear directly. So Grace can help you if there's mail lists that are just restricted to any of the lists, which I don't think there are, but there may be. That would be a good way forward on that. Any other questions, Avery? You're questioning yourself?
No, I was going to contribute a part answer to the question that was asked. This is Avery. Basically, and I think you alluded to it, is I think that what the various RFPs are doing, other than coming out of the NTIA, comes really from the main list and the main list discussions of parsing things out and then bringing them back. And I think for any issue that is clearly or isn't obviously in one of those RFPs, that is indeed the right place to take it, especially to make sure that it doesn't get missed or lost somewhere. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Cheryl, for the record. And yes, I think it's always a dangerous thing to dissect something up when it's going to be as deeply discussed and probably divisive in a community as some of this work is. There is a risk of knitting it all back together at the end, that some of the stitches will be dropped, and we need to be very, very careful, of course, that that doesn't happen, or that we minimise the risks of that happening. And to some extent, the work of this work stream is one of the safety nets of that, and that's what we'll be moving on to now, which, of course, is specifically our mandate in this work stream. And our assignment, just so we all know, is to describe how the proposal, inverted commas, whatever that proposal is, when it gets to publication point, meets the following five requirements. Support and enhance the multi-stakeholder model, to maintain the security, stability and resiliency of the Internet DNS, meet the needs and expectations of the global customers and partners of the IANA functions, maintain the openness of the Internet, and to ensure that the proposal does not replace the NTIA role with a government-led or an intergovernmental organisation solution. And, of course, that's where we recognise that in a perfect world, the RFP 3 and 4 should have considered these points in their work, and that what our work will be is a final sanity check, and obviously the production of a text confirming it. But with those specific points in front of us, let's take some time now, in the absence of more definitive and final work coming out of RFP 3 and 4, because time will be our enemy on this, of course, as it is on just about everything in this exercise, and that looking at the timetable coming out of 4, RFP 4, there's going to be very little time to start drafting fresh our contribution or our section to the greater body of work. We have public comment coming in. We will assume that from RFP3's work, we will assume that as a result of that and working on the table system that Avery outlined, that there will be another reasonable but brief discussion, and then some changes may be wrought again. And I am aware that at least some of the timetables out of RFP4, Avery, correct me if I'm wrong, there has been a request for example, the ALAC, who have put out a counter comment or suggestions for consideration as part of the public comment process for RFP3's work, that they take the time and get back to RFP4 to make sure that their pieces, potential pieces, are already in the timeline. So from what I have seen, we certainly have a great attention to detail being given in both RFP3 and RFP4 to make our job easier. But let's make our own job easier by discussing now how you would like to structure and draft our response. Do you, for example, want to put these five requirements down in some form of checklist and make an affirmation or statement attesting to how and if all of them have been met? Do you want to do it as a table? Do you want to do it as a paragraph? How do you want to see our section of this work structured? And with that, I'd like to note that we've had a couple of other people meet us, some staff, and I'd particularly like to welcome Gary. Welcome aboard. Let me know if we can bring you up to speed with anything that's happened in today's call or the one primary. Let's open the floor. How do you think we can best write up our part of the greater body of work? The floor's open.
I raise my hand.
And over to you. Thank you, Bill.
So I would like to... In my usual adversarial self, I would like to challenge the NTIA's requirements.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in the second, and responding to the to each of those 5 points, I think is reasonable, whether we do it in a table or whether we do it in text. I think it's important that we respond to all five.
Yeah.
Somehow or other. The second one, maintain the security, stability, and resilience of the Internet DNS. Now, I would like to suggest that moving forward, that while it was the NTIA's goal to maintain essentially the status quo, that what we would like to see moving forward is a way to enhance the security, stability, and resiliency of the DNS. This is an opportunity to revisit how things are being done to improve the security and stability of the infrastructure, as opposed to simply maintaining the status quo as being perfect. Does that resonate with anybody besides me?
Bill, I see that we have both Lisa and Avery's hand up, so we'll find out shortly. But let's note that point for further discussion, regardless of what they're contributing with their current interventions.
Lisa, okay, I have one other point, and then I will put my hand down.
I'll come back to you, Bill. Let's take these in bite-sized pieces, because their hands did go up when you were making that statement.
Okay.
Am I next, Cheryl?
Yes, please.
Okay,
yes,
thank you. I agree. It's interesting to kind of enhance what's been required by NTIA, but what I think this task is, and in order not to complicate it too much, I think it's within scope to see. Do we fulfill the intention of the maintaining the security and stability, for example? And I think as you can do both, you can do it in a table, or you could do it in writing. And I would say both would be fine, because we need to say have a table, but I think it's important to actually argue more than you can do in a table for how we think it's fulfilled. And even though I sympathize with your idea, Bill, of building more to it, I think that should be described in the actual proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Avery.
Yeah, hi, this is Avery speaking. It actually, when Bill asked if it resonated with anyone, it certainly did. I think that is really a good goal to have. I wish we had set up that goal sort of at the beginning. I think that we have to respond, obviously, to the base points that NTIA put out. But I do think that if there is the bandwidth, I think that having additional analysis that sort of looks at, does this improve or does this, you know, aid in increasing, you know, security, stability, resiliency, does it fulfill other requirements that others may have that went beyond the NTIA? I think that's probably a good piece of the analysis to include in the solution presentation in the outcome document if we've got it. But we definitely have to meet at a minimum what they have required. So I actually would like to find a way to make room for it. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. Cheryl, for the record. Back to you, Bill, and you might want to respond to what you've heard from both Lisa and Avery before you go to your next point.
I think the point was made. It resonated with two individuals that if we don't actually write text, we at least telegraph going forward that there is that we're looking to the future, and that's good enough
right
now. My second one is one that has actually bothered me for some time, and it's the third bullet. It says, meet the needs and expectations of global customers and partners of IANA functions. Do we have a definitive list of the global customers and partners and those relationships? Do we understand what those requirements are that those communities have and what the actual consumables of the IANA functions are to the internet community at large? Do we know that? Has that ever been written down?
You know, Cheryl, for the record, this is one of the reasons why having these work streams perhaps sectioned up into the smaller bite-sized pieces and allowing us to explore this question in particular is perhaps showing itself as rather important, despite my personal fears of knitting things back together after disparate work streams go on for so long and with such intensity. I personally, this is just my personal opinion, think that many of us make assumptions on that understanding. But the has it been written down in a definitive way, and certainly within the cross-community working group that we're all part of now, I'm not sure that the answer would be yes. We have discussions which say, of course, the CCTDLD community and the communities involved with the GTLD naming are clear customers, and as such, you know, their needs and service level agreements have to be met and maintained. We have allusions to the fact that those service levels agreements are so important, but has the analysis been done and captured? I'm going to ask staff whether that is the case before we, and I do apologise for my birdie chorus at this time of day. Everybody's screaming at each other. So I'm going to ask staff. Thank you, Grace. Your hand is up, and I don't mind who actually punts this one, but we think we need to note it for exploration. Thank you.
Hi, Cheryl. So I'm not sure if you were asking me to do this as an action item to look into this, but my response just to your question is that, to my knowledge, there isn't a definitive list at this point. In the RFP, the first sections of the RFP, of our proposal, sections that were developed by these subgroups 1 and 2,
yep,
address different address different groups that and their use of the functions, right? Because that was part of one of the requirements. There's no other definitive list other than the one that we've put through in the proposal. Has her hand up, so maybe she has more.
I do notice that, but Grace, I think that, to Bill's point, Cheryl, for the record, to Bill's point, there's a very powerful set of words there, which is global customers and partners. Now, what we've done is identify in that earlier work, certainly, and made some fairly high-level statements in that's resulted in the work in or the continuing focus on reasonable SLAs, et cetera, et cetera. But a real analysis of what are those expectations might be a bit of a gap. So we do need to, I think, follow up on that. That could be very wise indeed. I'm going to go to Lisa, then Gary, then Desiree.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. Regarding the global customers for this particular working group, the CWG, and that's the naming functions. And actually what the CCNSO has done is to localize every administrator of CCs that are, or every registry of CCTLDs that are around the world. So there is an actual list of these registries. And then we have the GTLDs that are very easy to define. So I think regarding the actual customers for the naming part, there is a list. I don't know for the others, but this is our task is the naming part, and it's not the numbering or it's not the protocol.
Lisa, Cheryl, for the record, I think Bill's point and indeed Grace's and yours answer wasn't questioning whether the customer base had been identified as such, because clearly that's the case as you've just described from the registries listing, but has their needs and expectations been captured?
No.
Am I paraphrasing you incorrectly now, Bill?
You are not. It is not an incorrect phrasing. I do have an example that I would like to go through when we've talked with a few, had a few other people contribute.
Okay, thank you then. Let's go to Gary, Desiree, and come back to you then, Bill. Gary?
Thanks, Grace. Are you hearing me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Hello, Grace. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
okay,
we do.
Right.
Go ahead.
It's more of a general comment. Right. I'm looking at the five requirements, and I'm just wondering to what extent do we have any flexibility of changing anything that's there. It says that the proposal must meet the five requirements. Is there any flexibility at all in terms of tweaking any of them, or do we have to work with them as is?
Well, I'm going to not shirk the answer. I think my answer wouldn't be very surprising, but seeing as we have a co-chair on our call, I'm going to ask Liz to give the what I think a fairly predictable response to that question is going to be. Liz, can you respond in that way?
Yeah, well, as this task has been set, if I understand it correctly, you're asking if there is a flexibility in what the proposal must meet, if there is any flexibility in the requirements, and this is a task set by the NTIA, and I think this is a must-have. It's not a nice-to-have list, and it has to meet those five requirements. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Cheryl, for the record, yes, I would suggest that my knee-jerk reaction was just a plain no, no flexibility. But it does seem to be, and certainly from our work streams requirements, our ability to make statements that these things have or indeed have not been met is the essential part of our work. Gary, do you have a follow-up?
No, I think I'm clear on that. You know, it's just that we if there's no flexibility, then I don't see the point in debating debating the issues.
Okay. Thanks, Gary. Shell, for the record, of course, we don't get to debate the issues as such. We get to attest as to whether or not the process we've gone through and the outcomes of the other work streams do or do not meet those key criteria as outlined by NTIA in their original work. Desiree.
Hi, Desiree, for the record. Comment on the meet the needs and expectation of the global customers and partners of IANA functions, how we could possibly approach that. In my view, any absence of disagreement could be interpreted as meeting the expectation of the global customers and partners of IANA. So whether we do matrix or whether we write paragraphs, I think that could be one of the criteria that will help us assess that.
Thank you, Desiree. I think that's most helpful, and I think that's something that we should pick up and build into how we're going to be doing any of our drafting. What I'm hearing is that at least based on our conversations today, that a simple checklist or attestation that says, yes, we have to each of these points is unlikely to be good enough. So we're not just going to be producing a table or a simplified version. We may indeed find benefit in having a table or a simplified yay or nay attestation to these points in our work, because that will act as, if nothing else, an executive summary and, for the quick scanner of a document, a mechanism to assure themselves or otherwise what the status is. But it does appear that, at this stage at least, there is also going to be need for text and explanatory work as well. And so I think what we're looking then at doing is perhaps deciding, after we've discussed a few other points a little bit further, whether or not we need to put up a collaborative workspace for starting to do that drafting. And, of course, we will look at whether or not we do that on Wiki, or whether we do that on Wiki and some other form. Some of the groups I know have used Google Docs. So whilst you're deliberating now on these 5 points, and I'm coming back to Bill because I know he has some an example at least he wants to share with us after we chewed the fat on number 3 a little. But I think we also need to work out how we're going to do this work. So we'll be doing that before we close off this section. I noted out of the chat while this was all going on that Bernie has indicated that, of course, the CCTLDs have produced surveys of all the CCTLDs that they could get hold of, most of to produce a concept of what the SLAs or the desirability for three would be there. They've also contributed at least a set of high-level requirements to the more recent expression of the call for expressions of interest for the renewal of the contract. I know that came out of the CCTLD community as well. And so perhaps we do have some basis to work on. So in that case, if you don't mind, Grace, if an action item on staff could be between now and our next meeting, aggregating what existing survey material or specific criteria are previously in existence, need not have come from one of the work streams, but could, of course, come from those previous surveys. And we also would need to look, and Barry, I don't know whether this is going to fall to you or who, but we'd need to look into the G space to see whether we could get hold, as Bernie says, of the requirements via the R registry stakeholder group as well. So I think that's work well worth doing, and that'd be an important way of us answering whether or not criteria number three or is able to be reached. Lisa, I'm going to go to you first and then move to Bill. Lisa?
Oh, thank you. Cheryl, I don't know I don't know how to put it in English, but how detailed the needs and expectations in the three is, because I think an actual SLA, as has been mentioned, is not it's not what has been asked for here. It's more what are the needs in a like a general term. Sorry, because of course the survey done by the CCs were very was an overview of what are the needs, not in details. And I think we should be careful not to dig into actual SLA needs, but more on the as an overview of the needs. Thank you.
No, thanks for that. These are important points, and in fact, yes, things like in a timely manner and without undue delay, that type of language, I think, if memory serves, was what was coming out, for example, from at least some of the CCTLD community, as opposed to, you know, by day X after the inquiry is put. So we certainly need to keep it at that higher level, but it would be fodder for a future SLA to be built upon. Anyone else on this before we go back to Bill for his example? And any other points he wishes to make? Not seeing anyone's hand raised in the room. Back to you, Bill.
Okay, so let me kind of walk through this briefly. The IANA function for names is constituted how? And I'm going to, I'm not, this is a rhetorical question, I'm going to walk through that, is that there are TLD registries, whether they're CCs or Gs or whatever, and the IANA has a database that says this TLD has this registry, these sets of contacts, this set of information which should go into the root zone. The IANA then takes that data, creates a DNS zone file. The NTIA looks at it and says, yes, that looks like the processes were followed correctly. The IANA signs the file. IANA creates the keys, hands it to VeriSign. VeriSign then takes that, updates the DNS distribution masters, but doesn't actually put any of that data out for consumption by the internet public. So the registries have updated their relationship, their data with the IANA. The IANA has created a spreadsheet, and then through one of its partners has created a root zone. But that root zone is not yet visible to the internet at large. The only time that that's available is when the root server operators pick up that root zone and make it available to the customers of the registries and the internet at large. So where do root server operators fit in this particular construct? Because if the CWG ignores the operational realities, we got a problem.
Okay, Bill, sure, off the record, I don't think the cross-community working group is planning on ignoring root server operators at all, but of course what they are doing, and indeed the different work streams are doing, is trying to be as inclusive of all the moving parts as possible. But the way in which the process runs has blessedly been very clearly articulated and outlined for even the most basic of end-user consumptions by ESAC recently. And I think what each of the work streams and the cross-community working group as a whole has tried to do throughout our process is to be very cognizant of what the oversight actually involves, because you know we need to work in the facts of the matter. So I see Jap has counted one of your points in the chat, Bill, and because you're not there, I'm gonna just ask Jap to if you've got audio, Jap, could you just speak to your point, because Bill isn't in the Adobe Connect room to read the chat.
It's not IANA who signs the roots on. It doesn't have the roots on at all. It's PhD who signs the roots on, which IANA only signs. With the KSK, the PhD used to sign the roots on. But it's on. It doesn't really matter for either the scope of this discussion or at all. The root server community. Sorry about that. But I haven't seen any of the NTIA is. This transition of the stewardship has to do with the processes between IANA and VSI and NTIA. And the root server. Operators are not part of this on the moment, and the only thing, and as Bill knows pretty well, the root servers don't agree on anything, including the toppings of the pizza, and what, that's a quote from Fixie, by the way. It is, the root server is maintained by VSI, it's authorized by NTIA, the changes, and the changes, the individual changes of the individual entries I sent in this triangle around. Might be that IANA has a copy of the SONA file, but everybody has that in the world. And, yes, it is very unclear what the position is of the root server operators. And but this is a very long discussion, which actually started in the late 90s and has never been finished. And to throw this into the power of the transition of this triangle process is just stirring things up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Jap. Thanks for that. And I'm so pleased that we're not trying to order pizza. Yes, because Paul's quote is amusing. What we have, however, is a good documentation upon which we can found our work, and that is the documentation out of ESAC at least that says what the processes are and what the actualities are of the requirements of this sort of oversight. So without going back to reinvent wheels, I'll give you a very brief right of reply, Bill, but then I'm going to be vicious with time. We've got people who need to leave before the top of the hour, and we've got at least 2 points we need to continue on with.
Okay. Very, very briefly, yep. The virtually all of the root operators have made public statements that they will publish what the IANA publishes or produces, and That is based on the expectation that the IANA is doing the correct thing. If the IANA chooses not to, the root operators are not bound to do that. And so the NTIA...
I'm happy to see a reference to a statement like that. I've never...
The NTIA RFP, the root operators do not have any relationship with NTIA. NTIA's relationship is with VeriSign and with ICANN. And so they are orthogonal.
Thanks. That is understood, Bill. And whilst it would be nice, perhaps, to try and solve some of the issues, long-standing issues in the past, that is outside, of course, of our remit. But we can't act in the vacuum. We do need to be aware of these issues. And I thank you for raising them. We're not going to progress them, however, in what's left in this call, and I indeed would probably not progress them as a function of the cross-community working group's current efforts at all, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be aware of them, and I'm very pleased that you've raised them for this group's consideration, or at least knowledge. I am going to move us on now, however, because we do have a couple of things we need to deal with, and Lisa has to leave in a moment or two. We, as Avery points out, we need to address this in any final doc, absolutely. What I would like to do is suggest that some proposed text, discussion points, strawman, call it what you want, on this topic, Bill, if you would like to put pen to paper, so to speak, we would like to start contemplating what we can, in fact, say in the text part of our work in the greater body of work that's coming out of the cross-community working group. Avery's also pointing out in the chat that she would like to it's an interesting data point, and she would like to see these statements that Bill mentioned. From that point of view, any of that material can and should be shared with the rest of us, and we would appreciate doing so. And she's also going on to say it's something that we can feed into the stress tests, and that's a very interesting thing to explore as well. So
I'll send out some text in the next 48.
Thank you very much. That's a perfect way of moving this along. We haven't covered all five of the functions. I did not expect that we would cover all five requirements in the time allocated today. This is practically going to be a standing agenda item for future meetings. It means that we can come back and redo some of the earlier ones, but I would suggest we do try and move from 3, 4, and 5 when we start at our next call. We have a couple of action items now just to review, so we all know and understand what we're doing between now and our next call. We do have the aggregation of expectation of global customer and partners of the IANA functions work that we can call upon and aggregate. That would be good. We also need to start some drafting of at least a first rough of text, and I would suggest some form of table that can act as a high-level checklist to see that we have got a cross-community working group outcome that's meeting the five requirements as listed. And we therefore need to do a quick discussion on how we are going to do that drafting. We're a small enough group that we can all contribute to the drafting. We probably will end up with one or two primary pen holders, but let's see how that runs between now and the next meeting. Grace has pointed out that there is the wiki space available, and regardless of what tools we use, I think it needs to be copied and emulated, if not primarily done, on the wiki space, because that forms a predictable public archive. Avery's pointed out that there was a text in a open source document. Avery, is that the case? Can you talk us through that?
so sorry. I was distracted, and I have no idea what you want me to talk you through.
Sorry, Avery. I apologize, and I went on mute because there was background noise starting here. You mentioned when we were talking about how to do the drafting in terms
process.
Of collaboration, that you'd put some text into something
currently
under tight control. So, Avery, that's something that you're privy to. Do you want to move that to a more public platform or open it up for the rest of the group, or do we emulate it in Google Docs, as some of the other work streams have done? And I will hasten to add, I always, otherwise I wouldn't be representing Asia-Pacific very well, need to read to the record that the use of Google Docs does limit the ability of some of our global interested parties to collaborate and cooperate. So we do need to be very aware of that, that if you do choose to use Google Docs, it is limiting participation. Now, I'm not saying that we don't use something like Google Docs or other open source materials, but just remember that not everyone can use everything in every platform. So, Avery, are you in a position to share your preferences for collaborative tools? You might be on mute, Avery. I notice Lisa's typing. We'll wait to see
Cheryl,
what she says. Go ahead, guys.
Sorry, I think Avery has dropped, actually.
That would explain if the technology gremlins have got in the way. Well, there we go. All right. Well, let's assume, Grace, we will set this up to begin with on the wiki space already allocated for this. We need to ask the group here to let you know what preferences they have for collaborative tools, whether they need to use something in addition to the wiki. And we need to live by the rule that if it happens in another collaborative tool, it has to be emulated on the wiki. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate the fact that you've been able to stay with us so long. Bye-bye. And I just want to now move on then to, our next meetings. We had a small discussion earlier on, and because the next regular call for this group would be on the eve of Christmas, which, of course, for those of us in the Southern Hemisphere would mean we would be actually asked to meet people on what is considered a public holiday. It's certainly in my country. We would propose we cancel the meeting for 24th of December, 2100 UTC, and that the suggestions for the next meeting would be for Tuesday, the 30th of December at 2100 UTC, following that, the Wednesday, the 7th of January at 2100 UTC. But I respect the fact that this 2100 or 2130, I misquoted earlier for the Tuesday, 30th of December start time, were set and discussed before all of you had joined this group. So if you have issues with those times, I'm going to ask you to let Grace know, and if need be, that we will perhaps need to redoodle after, not before, after our 30th of December call, which will be at 2130 UTC. With that, I'm going to note that Grace has put into the chat the link to the wiki page for this group, and Grace, if we could also make sure we send that out to the list as well. Grace, over to you.
Yep, just a quick addition. So the reason why we have the call at 2130 UTC on the 30th of December is because that same day the Accountability Cross-Community Working Group is meeting from 1900 to 2100 UTC. So I figured I'd give everyone a half an hour kind of lag because I know there's some overlap between this group and the Accountability Group, and just wanted to make sure that people could do both calls if they wanted to. But otherwise, I would schedule regularly for the 2100 slot.
Okay, so unless new members of our group give you darn good reason to revisit the 2100 UTC time, that's what we're proposing at this stage. Please do get back to Grace if it's an issue for you. I want to thank you one and all for joining us in today's call and indeed for joining this work stream. And I would like to wish you all the very best of the season. And for those of you who are travelling, travel safely. And please, let's use the list, let's use the wiki, and let's continue the conversation and get some of the drafting done in a perfect world before our meeting on the 30th of December. And with that, I'd like to call this to a close. Thank you, one and all. Bye for now.